When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Morgan's Pop Talks, breaking down the latest in reality TV and pop culture. Super excited for today's episode. We have the icon, the legend, Leslie Fima from The Golden Bachelor joining us. And of course, we have a lot to discuss with her. I'm so glad she didn't cancel. Honestly, I thought as soon as this Golden divorce news came out, I'm like, great. There goes my interview. There goes my chance to talk with one of my bucket list interviewees, Leslie Fima. But nope, she's here and she spills the tea. So cannot wait for you to hear it. We have a lot of other things to get into today. So I'm just going to go ahead and get right into it. The pop three. These are the biggest headlines in reality TV and pop culture of the week. Kim Kardashian and Taylor Swift are at it yet again. Swifties, I love ya. I hope you've had the best week. I hope you have enjoyed the Tortured Poets Department to its absolute fullest. But obviously everybody's talking about one particular song, maybe two, depending who you ask. But the song is called Thank You, Amy. And in the song, it talks about a high school bully and everyone thinks it's about Kim Kardashian because, first of all, the K, I, and the M are all capitalized. Like, you don't need any other clue than that. The song is clearly about K-I-M. That's how you spell Kim Kardashian. And there's a bronzed statue in LA. You know, the bridge or verse three or whatever it was says, you know, your child is going to be singing songs written by me that only you and I know are about you. And it's like very obvious that she's talking about Kim Kardashian. There's another song, though, that people aren't talking about as much. It's called Cassandra. I think that one is more about the Kardashian, even more so about the Kardashians and the whole phone call situation. So go back and do a little debrief into that one. So reportedly, Kim lost 100,000 social media followers after the song's release. Now, it sounds like a lot, but when you consider it's Kim Kardashian, I don't think she really cares. She has 336 million followers on her Instagram. I don't think she's going to lose sweat over 100,000 people. I feel like when you have 363 million, like you get 100K swept out a day on bots, you know, like it just is what it is. She's being kind of coy about responding to it publicly. She's having other people respond for her, i.e. her reps. But Kim was on Jimmy Kimmel. He did not ask about it, which tells me they told him, do not ask about this, because she was on after the song had already been released. But Kim did say when she was on Jimmy Kimmel that life is good. However, there's all these exclusive interviews popping up, whether it's Us Weekly or Page Six or People, where a source is pretty much, they're saying the same thing in all these different publications, that Kim wants to move on. Kim doesn't understand why Taylor keeps bringing it up. So obviously the question right now with people, or the debate, is, are you team Kim? Are you team Taylor? I'm just going to be 100% honest with you. Don't cancel me no matter what. I'm like team neither. If I'm being 100% honest, I'm team neither. I could see where Kim would be like, dude, this happened so long ago. Can you please stop bringing it up? I could see where Taylor was like, this was one of the most traumatic events that happened in my life. I went in hiding for a year. I can write about it whenever and wherever I please. My thoughts about it, because I'm so indifferent to this feud, is I have two thoughts. The first being that if I'm Taylor Swift just does not strike me as the type of person who wants her album reduced to a feud with Kim Kardashian. You know what I mean? Like, she released 31 songs on this double album, and It's like every article that you see is about this feud with Kim Kardashian. So I think that just surprises me. And I have to imagine that if Taylor Swift is writing a song with capital K-I-M, that she would know that this would be the type of response that it would get. You get what I'm saying? She's not going to name a song, Thank You, Amy, with capital Kim and be like, oh, Page Six isn't going to say anything about it. Like, no, be for real. So that's thought number one. Thought number two is that if Kim Kardashian was smart about it, she would dive straight into this drama headfirst. If she wants to do a nice clean pencil dive to not make a splash, if she wants to do a cannonball, she needs to dive into this. Because I saw, I'm getting ahead of myself, the Kardashian show, in my opinion, and the Kardashian brand, the appeal of it is starting to wear off on us, right? Like whenever they moved to Hulu, the show started going downhill. They moved to Hulu. It had a couple good moments. Obviously, the whole Tristan and Marley Nichols thing. You know, there was some Kanye drama when we saw Kim do Saturday Night Live. But other than that, there really hasn't been anything going on this new Kardashian show on Hulu. And I saw this TikTok. I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was from. But I saw this TikTok and they said, the Kardashians are not famous for their talent. Maybe they are now because they've built brands around their public persona, but they became famous because of drama, right? And it seems like the bigger that they have gotten, the more they have shied away from that, which understandably so, you know, your celebrity is growing. You want to keep some things private, especially now that you have children. But if they want the Kardashian legacy of the show, right, to be as good as it once was, they have to stop shying away from this type of stuff. You know, they completely didn't even touch the Balenciaga scandal. I feel like, you know, Kim not saying anything in interviews about Taylor. I can understand an interview, but when it comes to the show, I think they need to talk about it. Otherwise, like, they're just losing interest. I'm sorry, I don't have the mental capacity to sit there and watch Kim Kardashian try on all of her Met Gala outfits. Like, I just don't. So we'll see how that goes. Let's move on to headline number two. In this week's Vanderpump Rules episode, we got a Sheena Shea, Tom Sandoval blowout, and we have an update on her current relationship with Ariana Madix. So the last 3 minutes of this episode of Vanderpump Rules was head-to-head war, Sheena Shea and Tom Sandoval. Sandoval is upset that Sheena is kind of leading the charge when it comes to post-Scandoval publicity. You know, her song Apples came out that had a dig at Rachel and Tom. And he says to her, you know, it's not just about the song. It's been a lot. It's been a lot specifically from you, Sheena. And she admits to capitalizing on it. And she says, all you had to do was keep your mouth shut. And then they do a flashback to the reunion where she's talking about the restraining order. And she's like, shut your mouth, Tom. Shut your mouth, Tom. To me, now, I don't know. This is just how I interpreted it. If you're saying like, shut your, it could insinuate a lot of things. I don't want to say her saying, shut your mouth, Tom, when it comes to the restraining order means that something did happen, because anything you say can get brought up. So it's like, you just can't say anything at all. But it's like, it kind of gives that feeling, doesn't it? You know? And he's like, you're acting like the biggest victim in this. And she says, well, she did file a restraining order against me. And it's like, yes, she did. Okay. And the song wasn't about the restraining order. And the podcasts, you know, only the first one was about the restraining order. So I do understand Tom Sandoval's annoyance with Sheena. You know, she's definitely using what happened to him to capitalize off of it. Everybody was. So can you blame her? I don't know, but I don't blame Tom for being annoyed with it. But then he drops the bomb and says, you've been another woman in a relationship. And she goes ballistic. You know, I do think doing something at 21 and doing something at 40, there was 20 years of life lessons that you should have learned, right? And it's also comparing apples to oranges. You know, according to Sheena, she didn't know that Eddie was married to Brandy. I do find that hard to believe, but anyways, you know, he told her he was separated. She fell in love with him, blah, 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 blah. That's different than sneaking around, sending subliminal messages, wearing lightning bolt necklaces, like pretty much dangling the carrot in front of everybody's nose, which I agree. The two things are different, but this is a perfect example of why I'm so confused, why Sheena is so concerned about her friendship with Tom Sandoval, because this is the type of stuff that he is always going to pull with you. Meanwhile, she's essentially sabotaging her friendship with Ariana at the same time. Ariana, the girl who is running after Sheena, hugging her in the driveway to console her because Tom Sandoval just brought up something from 20 years ago, you know? So Tom is the type of person who will deflect and hit below the belt to make himself feel better. And it's not just we've seen that time and time and time and time again. So I'm just confused as to why Sheena, I don't want to say that she's picking Sandoval over Ariana, because I don't feel that she is, but she's leaving the door open for him. And I'm currently in the middle of a Vanderpump Rules rewatch, and I'm on season 7, but I did start from the beginning. And it is just a tale as old as time. Sheena wanting to be friends with everybody, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter who it hurts, no matter how it affects her mental health. And it's just like one of those things where she wants to be liked so badly that she is burning bridges everywhere she goes, because she can't stay loyal to just one person. Allie Luber did an interview with Us Weekly where she said there was some tension between the two of them at Coachella, Ariana and Sheena. She said, "I think at the end of the day, everyone's a family. And I know it's a very cheesy, basic answer, but they really are. And they've all been through so much together where I don't have any doubt they'll be fine. But I do think, I am sure, some feelings are hurt." Yeah, I mean, you know, I saw Ariana say the same thing. She was at some event. She was saying, you know, during filming, I thought we were like the Spice Girls. Watching it back, we're definitely not. And so just to kind of – I just feel like that scene is a perfect depiction of why Sheena should kind of let go of her former friendship with Tom Sandoval, because this is what you're going to get with him. This is what you get with Ariana. And, you know, if you make your bed, you're going to have to lie in it. So there's that. Today's sponsor is Factor Meals. Finally starting to get warmer. You want to spend your time outside and not in the kitchen. With Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Visit factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. You can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code poptalks50 at factormeals.com/poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Let's move on to headline number 3. Kim Zolciak is being slammed for insinuating that her estranged ex-husband, Croy Bierman, died on her Instagram story. He is alive, okay? I just want to say that. But she's been posting these clickbaity things, right, to get people to click the stupid link. I don't know what the website is, but it's like she must get paid per click because none of this is making sense. She posted this black and white photo to her Instagram story of her and Croy, and all it said was #RIP. With two broken heart emojis. And of course, the click here link at the bottom of the page. So her daughter, Ariana, went on TikTok and just kind of let it fly, right? She was tearing up, and this is what she said in the TikTok video. "What would you do in this situation? Secondhand embarrassment stays through the roof. Let's see what's coming next." She then seemingly speaks to her mom, Kim, and says, "I love you, but my heart, like, what? We need a wellness check. on Kim between the divorce, the money issues, the cops being called to their house multiple times, the clickbait on her social media. She acted like Brielle was pregnant. She's not. She is now insinuating that Troy is dead on social media. He's not. To get clicks. It's so toxic. It's so toxic. I feel so sorry for those kids because it's like, what in the world is going on there? Is it so bad that you have to pretend like your estranged husband passed away to get people to click a link in your bio? It's absurd. It's absurd. So send T's and P's to Brielle and Ariana because clearly they need it. Okay. Let's move on to something a little more fun. We have the one and only star, in my opinion, of The Golden Bachelor, Leslie Fima, to talk about all things the Golden Divorce, if she's going to be the Golden Bachelorette, going to that wedding, her cameo on Joey's season. You guys, I loved her before. I love her even more after this interview. So MPT fam, welcome Leslie Fima. Leslie, I am so happy and excited to be talking to you today. You have been on my MPT bucket interview list. So thank you so much for being here with me.
Oh my gosh. And you, I feel the same way. I'm like, oh, I love this girl. I want to talk to her. So
good.
I'm very excited.
Well, we definitely have a lot to discuss, but I will say first and foremost, I just feel like living vicariously through your social media. And I know social media is a highlight reel, but it really feels like you're living your best life. I mean, if you had to describe this era of life that you're in, how would you describe it?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just got chills when you said that because it's been a long time coming. And people always say, you know, what did you take away from the show or what did the show do for you? But it made my life richer in so many ways. And it gave me just, a different outlook on life. And I feel that I have a different attitude a little bit. And I am really happy. Those are all the things I think the show has changed me in so many ways. But those are just a few of them.
When you say it gave you a different outlook, what do you mean by that?
I just don't take myself as seriously, which I really hadn't ever before, but now for sure I don't. I feel like I have a little bit more confidence. I have always been kind of a confident person, but there's been aspects of my life that have been missing some of my confidence. And so I feel like it's given me that. It's given me amazing friends and relationships that I never thought in my life I'd have at this age. And it's also, when I meet people and they say, you've given me hope, or I love watching you, you've changed my life. I mean, I get that. And at first I'm like, I changed your life. And then when they explain it to me, I mean, it's not just me per se, maybe it's the show, or maybe it's something I said on the show, or one little thing triggered something for them. I think all of the women have done that in different ways for certain people. And that makes me really, really happy. Like, that gives me such joy to hear that. And especially the younger people, because they always say, I'm not afraid to grow old now.
It's so true. It is so true.
That like almost makes me cry every time I hear that or I repeat it back. It really is. It makes me really happy.
There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. It's something that I have struggled with in the past, which is why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best with no complicated routines, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. Right now, I'm using the OS1 Eye Topical Supplement to help strengthen and firm the skin around my eyes. So far, I've noticed it has improved hydration and improved firmness. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code POPTOX at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code POPTOX. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them I sent you because I love you like a sis.
My husband and I watched the show together, and I could never get him to watch any reality show, but he was instantly hooked, and we were instantly drawn to you for that reason. You know, because you do sometimes wonder, what is life going to be like, you know, however many years down the road? And I remember saying to him, as you know, a former dance instructor and just all these things, I see myself in you. And I'm like, if I can be like Leslie when I get to her age, I will be so happy.
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying it's always like this. I mean,
right.
You know, I have health problems, or I'm just very lucky in that respect. I'm really healthy. Unfortunately, my mom died when she was only 59. She died of an aneurysm, so it wasn't like she was sick, you know. But until then, she was a beautiful woman, and I do have good genes, I think, that run in my family. I'm lucky about that. Definitely. But you know, it does take some work, and I do take care of myself from the inside out, and I think that has a lot to do with it. Plus, I know this sounds funny, but I do surround myself with younger people. I mean, I have a lot of younger friends. And my children are my friends, and their friends are my friends. So I think it helps when you do have a younger attitude.
How have your children adjusted to this new life that you're living in the public eye?
Well, it's funny because they're kind of used to it a little bit because, you know, Minneapolis, I always say, is a small, big town. And, you know, people do know me in this town because of my teaching and all that stuff. And my family's kind of famous. I mean, my cousin Bobby was Prince's drummer, you know, so
yeah.
People know our family in that respect. They're kind of used to it. I have funny stories. My son, Zach, who is single, he lives in Chicago, and he's on some dating apps, and he has my picture from The Golden Bachelor on his dating app.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
I mean, I don't know. He was at Coachella because he works for Live Nation. So he's there for work, but he says, Mom, everybody is coming up to me. How's your mom? And Eli, he owns restaurants with his father, my ex-husband, and people are making reservations to the restaurant just so they think that maybe I'm coming there.
You need to do meetups. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, so they laugh. They're texting me constantly. Oh my God, this person came into the restaurant and she's taking pictures of me because I'm your son. Whatever.
Has it helped either one of them get dates?
Well, my youngest son, Eli, is getting married next month.
Well, congratulations.
So I'm so excited because Daphne, his future wife, who I already consider my daughter, they've been together for a while. They have a baby and a 2.5-year-old. So, but my son, Zach, I think when he was living in LA when the show was airing, he just moved to Chicago, and he had watch parties every Thursday and they FaceTime me, and it was Zach. And all girls. I think he's doing okay.
That's great. He was handing out roses at his own watch party.
No. And then they FaceTime me and I'd be in bed like watching. I'm like, oh my God, they're FaceTiming me. I take my ponytail.
Oh, that's great. Well, I mean, in a turn of events, I mean, when we booked this interview, obviously we had no way to know what was going to happen in the days following it, but news that have honestly shocked Bachelor Nation, Gary and Teresa announcing their divorce. What was your reaction to the divorce news?
At the end of the day, after my heartbreak and all that stuff, you know, life goes on, and Teresa was one of my best friends in the house. Of course, at the end of the day, I want her to be happy, just like she'd want me to be happy. And I still want them. I still want that for both of them, really. I mean, you know, makes me sad, but at the end of the day, I want them to be happy. I want Teresa to be happy. And if this is their path, then I really don't know what else to say, you know, to be honest.
So. Yeah. Did you learn of the divorce when the Good Morning America interview was happening, or did you know before that?
You know, maybe a couple of days before, but not really that much.
What do you think of April? I mean, April, God bless her, in the comments section, she is just really just saying what is coming to the top of her mind. I think it was something along the lines of, we've had many heart to hearts. I mean, what is your take on that situation?
You know, April's April. Like I said, we all have our certain personalities, and I love each of these women for certain things. And April definitely is outspoken, has her opinions. I don't know. Sometimes when someone says something, we don't always remember it that way. Or, you know, I don't know. I mean, all I can say is April's April, and she does things different than I would, or I do. So I can't really speak for her.
Right. She deleted it. She said she's sorry. We'll leave it at that.
There's no filter, but we always knew that about her.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, again, we all have fans. We all have people that don't like us for certain reasons. And I think she's got fans that like her for that reason. And then, of course, people are going to, you know, say that's not right. So, like, you know, it's just who we are.
Yeah. You're obviously in a bit of a difficult position with this, right? Because you and Teresa are friends. Yeah. You and Gary did have a relationship. And like you said, you know, there are people from the beginning who were rooting for you to win the show. So how do you navigate that in this current moment? Have you been able to be there for Teresa during this time?
Well, I just really feel like, first and foremost, I always put myself in someone else's shoes, you know? If the situation was reversed, how would I want the girls to treat me, and how would I want support from the other women? And I feel like we all have a bond. You know, Gary's over here, but we're all over here, and we all had that bond. And yeah. I think that at the end of the day, whether it's the girls on The Golden Bachelor or my friends in Minneapolis or anybody, I think women need to stick together and lift each other up and have each other's backs, because really at the end of the day, it's all we have. I feel that, you know, sometimes in social media, women haven't lifted us up, other women, and they haven't had our back, and we're misunderstood. And so this group of girls, we understand each other, and I just want to be there for her, and whatever that means, and however she wants. I check in with her every day. What can I do for you? Just checking in. How are you doing? You know, I just feel that that's what I would want.
Yeah, that's amazing. I have had guests on recently from shows like Love is Blind and other dating shows. And this common theme that I get when talking, and my listeners are going to be like, Morgan, you say this every week, but it's so true, that it feels like actually more so than going on these shows to find everlasting love, you find your soulmates in the women that you become friends with and build these bonds with. And I think it's been so heartwarming to see, you know, the Golden Girls just being there for each other. It's like sisterhood. To me, what it says is sisterhood doesn't have to end when you leave college, or when, you know, after you get married and have kids, you're still able to have that type of connection with other women if you foster the relationships to do that.
Yeah. And one thing we all have in common is we don't have spouses on the show. So we don't have that support right now of, you know, a partner. You know, we have our children and we have our friends and all that stuff, but we really need to support each other, however that looks. Just checking in, not talking about each other to other people, just really supporting each other. That's all.
Well, I mean, I'll speak on behalf of all my listeners and say that we really do hope the best for both Teresa and Gary. We're sad that it didn't work out. I think mostly as a viewer and as a lover of the show, I think people were just shocked at the quickness of it. So it's just something that I think people are going to have to take some time to digest and get past it. I want to move on to the wedding. Your decision to go to the wedding, I really want to know, was that something that you wanted, or was that something that was suggested to you and you kind of came around to it eventually?
I didn't think I was going to the wedding at all. I mean, I just didn't, you know, it wasn't in my wheelhouse of my thought process, anything. So I got a call from Teresa one night And I was actually listening to my sister-in-law sing. I was at a show. She's a singer, and it was a Christmas show because it was before Christmas. I got this call, and I saw that she's calling, and I left the show, and I went out in the lobby and took it because, you know, I didn't know what it was, and she's calling me, and so I took the call, and she said, you know, basically, Leslie, I know it's weird, because we hadn't really talked a lot since the end of the show. And she's like, I really, really want you at the wedding. I know if you don't want to come, I totally understand, but I really want you there. And I said, well, you know what? I really appreciate this. I'm at a show right now. I want to go listen to my sister-in-law sing. Can I get back to you? And she said, absolutely. And we talked for like another 30 seconds. And then I kind of, you know, thought about it and talked about it with my brother and thought about it a little bit more. And then I called her back in a couple days and I told her that I would go.
It's so big of you. I mean, I want to say, like, I don't know how I could do that. I don't know. Cause it's like you said, you know, you love your friend. You want to be there for your friend, but there's all of these very complex and weird situations and emotions that go along with it. I just am remembered. I listened to you on Bachelor Happy Hour. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was still a lot of emotions going on within yeah. you. So how do you reconcile those emotions while still being able to go and support your friend?
Well, it was about 2-3 weeks after that. So time heals all. Unfortunately, that's been kind of my motto throughout my life, because having parents die and, you know, when you're young, you hear that and you go, I don't want to hear that anymore. And time heals all, but yeah. it does. Time does heal all. And, you know, when you get back into your everyday life with your children and my grandchildren and my work and all the things that I love to do, I mean, things, you know, progressed in a way that I could let go of it. You know, after Bachelor Happy Hours, right the day after the finale. So I was a little, you know.
Emotions were still very high at that point. Yeah,
it was really hard for me. First time I saw Gary and, you know, it was a little tough, but I don't know. I was 2 or 3 weeks later. And then unfortunately I ended up in the hospital, and I actually didn't think I was going to go because I had just kind of had, you know, little minor surgery. So I didn't think I was going to go. And then I'm like, you know, well, I could go, but I have to bring my brother because he's got help because I can't. So it ended up being fine. And, you know,
Are you glad that you did?
I am glad that I did. For a few reasons, because I got to see my friends and I didn't really get to see them after the finale because, I wasn't really with them. You know, they're over here and I'm over here. And then I didn't really get to see them. And I didn't even know that there was going to be a wedding until the show aired.
Right.
And then I didn't watch it. I mean, I'm in LA and it's not airing for a couple hours and I'm out with my son and my brother. And then my friends are texting me, you know, that they're going to get married. I'm like, they're getting married. I'm like, no, I didn't know that. So I found all of that out. And then the next day I was, you know, but yeah. So I just felt like I was glad to be there. I saw my friends. I saw some of the, obviously the alumni that were there. It was great. I adore Trista. And it was like special because we got to spend time together. And it was a really nice weekend, to be honest, or a couple days, whatever it was. And I'm not saying it was the easiest thing to sit through, but it wasn't painful.
When you posted on your Instagram story that you were going, it caused quite the stir. But what I noticed and what other fans noticed was that you were wearing gold, which people thought might have been a subliminal message. Was it a subliminal message or was it on accident?
No, I just got this cute top at Anthropology and I'm like, I'm going to wear this. I completely, like, all of a sudden when I did that, I'm like, oh, shoot. I know how these people think.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I immediately went down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole because I'm like, there's no way she would want to go. First of all, she's wearing gold, so they must be announcing her as the Golden Bachelorette. I mean, I was convinced.
No. I don't know. Maybe subliminally, I was doing screw with people. I don't know. I don't know.
That's people, great.
They always say put things out in the universe. So maybe I was doing that. I don't know.
I mean, would you want to be the Golden Bachelorette?
I would, only because I think I've learned a lot and I think I'd be good at it. And then I get to choose, or I would choose somebody that chooses me as well.
What do you think you would take, like, from Gary's season into a season of your own if you got the opportunity? Like, what learning moments did you learn?
Well, I don't think I would tell anyone I love them until it was the last person.
Yeah.
That's the thing I know I wouldn't do, because it's – love for me is a very strong word, and I don't throw it around except to my children. I never hang up or leave – they never leave without me saying I love you. But when it comes to – somebody in my life, I mean, it's not something I say unless I really mean it. So that's definitely one thing I would not do until it was the last guy.
Knowing what we know now about everything that has happened, do you feel like it worked out the way that it was supposed to?
You know, Morgan, I felt like it worked out the way it was supposed to after it happened. I mean, that's what kind of kept me sane. Because that's been my motto really throughout my life. Things work out the way they're supposed to.
Yeah.
And I was upset and sad and kind of distraught for a while. But I kept thinking and saying to myself, things always work out the way they're supposed to. You know, and so that has kind of been the running thread with my thought process throughout this whole thing. And yeah, they worked out the way they're supposed to.
I want to shift gears a little bit because we also saw a Leslie cameo on Joey's season of The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. What was your thought process going into that, sitting down and giving advice to Kelsey?
I just wanted to be really honest with her. And again, I didn't know Kelsey. I walked in. I didn't know she was a front runner. If she was at that time, I didn't know anything, you know, obviously. But when I walked in, I felt like she was. I looked at her, and the minute I started talking to her, I was, you know, just like, this girl's special. And we had that bond with losing our moms at, you know, and around the same age. And it's really hard to navigate through life without your mother. And for her to give, you know, that advice that she would normally give you to be missing from your life and doing things in your life. I've done things in my life that I know that if my mom was alive, she would have given me advice and steered me in a different direction. There was things that were said that, you know, obviously it was a long conversation.
Right, right.
Conversation that showed, and it wasn't just about you may not get picked, whatever that honed in on.
Right.
That I got a lot of bullying actually from that. And, I did say to her, go into that overnight and just have the best time and say everything you want to. And just know that, like, this is where you're going to really feel it, you know, with Joey, or not feel it. This is it, you know. I just didn't want her to get hurt. But yeah. That was just a very small piece of it. We had that whole conversation. Did you tell him you love him yet? No, I think you should, you know, if you feel it, then you tell him, because don't waste the time. You know, this is the time you're going to be able to say everything you want to him. And it was hard for me. That was my darkest week. I'm usually a happy go lucky person, and I kind of like brush things off me. That was a hard one for me.
Was there anybody that you were able to talk to on the show about your experience?
I talked to mostly my brother and my son. I mean, my son, Zach, you know, he knows he obviously works in a industry where all his, you know, artists go through this.
Yeah.
And so he kind of guided me through that. And my brother Stuart's has always been my sounding board. Yeah. I mean, I was down. I was down. And to be honest, Morgan, I did reach out to Kelsey and she really helped me. She said, Leslie, I love you. You gave me great advice. Please don't listen to these people, you know, and because I felt so bad, I'm like, that's not the way I really remember it, but
yeah.
You know what I mean? And so she was fantastic and she was she's a sweet soul. And, you know, she made me cry. I mean, she made me, you know, cause she made me feel so much better. And, but then, you know, there's something else that comes along, you know, that takes it away. So,
yeah. Well,
and then she got picked. So
exactly. We're focusing on the positive. I mean, they're engaged to each other. They seem like a perfect match. Okay. What I want to know is, are you dating?
I'm not. I, you know, people ask me that and I haven't been really asked out.
What?
Yeah, I know.
No.
I shouldn't say I haven't been asked out. I mean, I'm sure there's opportunities out there. I'm very picky.
Yeah, as you should be.
Yeah, and I don't really, at this point now, I'm not going to just go out and have coffee with somebody from a dating app. I'm just not going to do that. I mean, I'm not doing that. So I feel like Minneapolis is a small, big town. I kind of know everyone, you know, and so my guy is probably does not live in Minneapolis. If he's out there, I don't think he lives here.
Okay, let me ask you this, because we know you would do a Golden Bachelorette. Would you do a Golden Paradise season if they have one?
Yeah, that would be fun, I think.
I feel like you would run that beach. We would be doing line dances on the beach.
In the water. Oh, yeah. I could.
Yeah, I feel like you would thrive in that environment.
Yeah. I mean, I just came back from Costa Rica, so everyone knows I literally ate dinner in my bathing suit. Like,
you hear that, producers? Make it happen.
I think they know it by now, anyhow.
Thank you so, so much. I mean, like I said, this was such a bucket list for me. I just love your spirit. I love your soul. I love everything that you stand for. Wishing you nothing but the best and hoping that we see you back on our TV screens in whatever way possible.
Yeah, you never know. Hopefully, you never know. But if not, I'm good.
Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Morgan's Pop Talks. Don't forget to leave a review, a little boop boop, a little 5-star rating, and subscribe to the Patreon. This week, we talked more about the Spice Girls potentially getting back together, the hit Netflix show, Baby Reindeer. I binged it. I need to talk to you about it. And of course, you know, we are gearing up for the Bravo Patreon on Friday, where I'm sure we're going to talk about more things. Summer House, Vanderpump Rules, The Valley. The Valley. So if you want more MPT, make sure you subscribe. The link is in the show notes below. If not, I'll see you next week. Love you like a sis.
A Huda Media Production.